Okay. So on, if you turn to Dalet Amud Bet, so the Gemara builds, right? In the middle, we'll get to the issue of Ne'amanut, of believability. But the Gemara in the middle has, after that discussion of believability, has one follow-up question on the previous sugya, and that is, Ibayilu Hamaskir Bayat L'chaveru B'chezkat Baduk, if you leased out the property on the assumption, right, with the presumption that it was already searched, umitzao she'eno baduk, and you find out that it's not, mi'eve ke'mekach ta'ut o lo, right, is it considered a mekach ta'ut or not? Now, what is a mekach ta'ut? Okay, the second thing you said was right. The first one, not. Not, yes. Right, it's a sale made under false pretenses, and the normal halacha, therefore, in a mekach ta'ut is?
It goes back. It's not replaced out.
Correct, right? It simply doesn't work. So if I, and these are particularly egregious things, right? It's not, so for example, if I sell Mordechai,
A loaf of bread,
right? Well, no, that's a bad. I'm going to leave that because it's a bad example, just because it's price control. No, those are not. Yeah. An artisan loaf of bread.
Wow, I sure hope that there's no holes missing.
Yes, I hope that no one stuck their hand in the middle and took it. Right, and the normal going rate for such a loaf of bread is 15 shekel, right? And I sell it to him for 18 shekel. Okay, so what halacha is even in play there? Is it mekach ta'ut? No, right? The potential issue there would be overpricing, would be ona'ah, right? And it's not clear there'd be ona'ah in this case. A, it's less than a sixth. B, it's not clear that that luxury items like that necessarily have an exact price, right? But mekach ta'ut is not the issue, right? But if I sold him a loaf of bread and I didn't tell him that really it's gluten-free... Right. I sold him something completely different. So then the sale just doesn't go through, right? It reverses because what we agreed to was not what happened, right? That is mekach ta'ut, okay? So that's the question that the Gemara here is going to ask. I probably should put all of it on the sheet once I was putting it on the sheet, but okay, we can start with the question, right? So what would you think, right? What do you think, just from the question, what do you think the Gemara's question is?
If somebody rented
Rudy, out. No, it doesn't matter. No, this is my... sheer room. You want to do that? You do that before.
So if somebody sold or rented out a house to someone else, and they said, "By the way,
what would you say?" Right?
Okay, fine. What would I say on the 13th? Well, according to Tosos initially, because.
Okay.
I'm remembering opinions from prior shiurim.
Okay, here's the problem. When you say something in mekach ta'ut, what are you asking? You're asking that clearly what has happened. Clearly there has been
a false premise.
Right, there's been a false premise in this sale.
So anytime.
So when there's a false premise and you ask, well, is it a mekach ta'ut? What you're really asking is... is this such a false premise that it justifies
saying that this sale didn't actually happen?
Correct. The sale didn't happen. Now, it doesn't have to mean that because, as I said, and I already hinted at with the case of the pricing, there are cases in which we don't actually force you to reverse a sale, but we still recognize that there was a problem in the sale. So overcharging is a good example. So by the halacha of ona'ah, right? What is the halacha of ona'ah? Right, you're not allowed to overcharge. And if you do overcharge, then what? who knows the halakha by overcharging? If I do overcharge, then what?
You get compensated?
So it depends, right? There are three possible outcomes in a case where I overcharge Mordechai. And it all hangs on the magic proportion, 1/6. If I overcharge Mordechai by less than 1/6, what recourse does Mordechai have?
Nothing.
Nothing. If I overcharge him by more than 1/6, what recourse does he have? Nope, the sale is reversed. Right, the whole sale is reversed. If I overcharge him by precisely 1/6, what's the halacha? What? You're correct. The sale stands and you return the 1/6 overcharge. Okay? So when we talk about sales in which there was something off, right, something that happened that shouldn't have happened, sometimes the answer is too bad, right? Meaning it's not egregious enough of a violation. So even though maybe I should have done what I said, it doesn't affect the essence of the sale, and therefore there's nothing you can do. Sometimes it's so egregious that it challenges the legitimacy of the sale in its entirety. And sometimes it's not egregious enough to reverse the sale, but that doesn't change the fact that
you overcharged me.
That's just an example, but that I did that there is an obligation within this transaction that was not met, or an injustice that was done that needs to be rectified. Okay? Understand, right? Those are the three possibilities that you have in any time in which the precise agreement that you made was not lived up to, right? It can be that it's so egregious that it nullifies the sale. It can be unfortunate, but not egregious enough to affect anything legally. Or it can be egregious enough that needs to be rectified, but not egregious enough to undermine the legitimacy of the entire deal. Okay? Yes? So the Gemara here asks, if I lease out a property of Mordechai on the presumption that it is checked for chametz and it is not, is it a mekach ta'ut? So what is the Gemara asking?
Is this such an egregious offense
So let's be careful. What is it asking? It's not 100% clear. What could it be asking?
Well, it could be saying that either the sin of not checking would end up going back on the landlord.
Whoa. Who said anything about sin? Mekach ta'ut. Mekach ta'ut is what type of halacha? This whole sugya is a choshev mishpat sugya.
Okay,
there's a backdrop, as we'll see, from the fact that obviously we're dealing with bedikat chametz. That's what you didn't do. But this is a halachic question about the sale. This is a contractual question. Is it a mekach ta'ut or not? Now, you tell me, what is the Gemara asking? What are the options? If it is a mekach ta'ut, then what? If it's not a mekach ta'ut, then what? What is the Gemara assuming?
If it is a mekach ta'ut, then the responsibility of doing the bika would fall upon the landlord versus...
So, maybe.
Or...
Correct. Right? You have to figure out when the Gemara is asking that, what is it saying? Remember, I just told you that there are two types of rectifications one might be obligated to do.
Right.
One is to simply reverse the transaction, and the other is to maintain the transaction and
reverse
the situation. So when it says it's mekach ta'ut, one possibility is that it's saying, if it is a mekach ta'ut, we mean mekach ta'ut of the level that it reverses the entire transaction. And now Mordechai does not have anywhere to live for Pesach, because since he whined to me that I didn't check for chametz, he now has no house. Teach you to whine next time, right? And not mekach ta'ut, therefore, would mean what?
That
Mordechai has a house, but potentially either he has a house and he is responsible for Bedika, or he has a house and I'm still responsible for Bedika, meaning I have to rectify the situation, right? So if you think that mekach ta'ut here is the extreme, it means that if it is a mekach ta'ut, it's such a mekach ta'ut that it will undermine the legitimacy of the entire transaction, then not mekach ta'ut might mean that I have to do nothing, or it might mean I have to rectify it, but either way, Mordechai gets to keep the apartment. Right? On the other hand, you could say, no. What else could the question be? It could be that it's off the table that the sale will reverse. Right? It could be that no one thinks this is the level of a mekach ta'ut, that the transaction is undermined. What might the question be? Is it a mekach ta'ut and now I have to fix the situation by checking for chametz? Or is it not even that? I said I was going to. Too bad. Mordechai, do it. Get over yourself. Right, but what is the mekach ta'ut is looking at? Is it the higher level mekach ta'ut, meaning that the Gemara is going back and forth between, is the sale going to be undermined in its entirety or not? And within not, it could be, and therefore I need to do nothing. Or I need to fix the situation, but the sale stands. Or did the Gemara never entertain the possibility that the sale would fall? Right? The Gemara's two sides are, do I have to fix the situation or do I not have to fix the situation? Right? To figure out whether what I just said is true, you have to figure out, would that lesser level where the sale stands, but I have to fix the situation, do we call that in halacha mekach ta'ut or not? Right? So to figure out whether I'm right, you got to figure out whether that would be the usage of the word. Correct? So that's one set of things we need to figure out here. The second thing we need to figure out is, what is Cheskato Baduk? Right? What is Cheskato Baduk? Cheskato Baduk means I gave it the presumption that it's checked.
But
what is the presumption that it's checked? How could you get to a presumption that it's checked? If he says so.
Or it's so close to Pesach that you're like,
correct. One way is because it is the time at which, based on the sugya we saw in Amud Aleph, you should have already checked it. And therefore, there is a presumption that it was checked. But maybe I didn't say anything. Right? What? I'm not looking to be shown him yet.
Okay.
Just the line in the Gemara. Right? When the Gemara says, Chezkato Baduk, you have to ask, is the Gemara saying Chezkato Baduk because it's the right time? Right, it's already the 14th, and if it's the 14th, presumably you already checked, and therefore the reason Mordechai assumes it was checked is because he assumes that I care about halacha, and I gave it to him when I should have checked, and that's why. But I never said such a thing. I didn't tell him I care about halacha. He just assumed that I care, right? Right. Now if that's what it means, right? If that's what it means, then you'd have to ask what? Right? If the Gemara is asking, what is this case, what's the halacha in a case in which Mordechai rented the property on the 14th under the assumption that I would have kept halacha and checked it? If that's the case, then you have to figure out, okay, well, whatever the Gemara answers about that, what if it's more explicit than that? So let's say that you would conclude, as the Gemara does, that it's not a mekach ta'ut. But you think that it's not a mekach ta'ut in a case where the reason that Mordechai assumes that I checked for chametz is because
it's
just assumed. So maybe you'll say that that's not a mekach ta'ut. But what if, correct, but what if Mordechai said, Rabbi Zirig, I know you're a rabbi, doesn't mean I trust you, right? I would like to rent your property, but I am renting property on condition. We're writing this into the contract that I am renting it if and only if you search for chametz. And I say, sure, Mordechai. Then Mordechai walks into the house, and there is the bread merchant has left bags and bags of bread.
Oh my God.
And you're like, you said you couldn't do bedikah. I said, I say a lot of things. No. What are you going to do about it, right? So if you think that it's not a mekach ta'ut when it's presumption, then maybe in a case where you explicitly say
that I've checked for chametz, then that's definitely a false.
Correct. But what if you think that the chesko baduk here isn't just a presumption, but is a
explicit
statement? Then the Gemara's conclusion that it's not a mekach ta'ut would be more radical, because why? Because then you would be saying, despite the fact that Mordechai wrote in the contract, I only want to rent this on condition, if and only if, there is no, that it was searched carefully for chametz. And then I say, of course, we write it in the contract. You come into the house, clearly I did not check, and I say, too bad. And Mordechai says, but it's in the contract. But if that's what cheskat ha-baduk means, where I said it was, then the Gemara's conclusion that it's not a mekach ta'ut means even when I say to your face, and I write into the contract, yes, right?
Then you gotta hope that this isn't.
I said a lot of things. I promised you that I promised you would have a roof. Maybe it doesn't have that either. I don't know, right? Who knows? What? So Kobe says, I don't understand. Kobe says, I don't understand. How could you say something crazy like what you're saying? There's this halachic rule called tenai. There's a halachic rule called conditions, and you made an explicit condition. You mean someone might actually entertain the possibility that despite the fact that I made an explicit condition, which I'm allowed to do, that we can then say, well, too bad, there's nothing you can do about it, even though you went through all that effort of hiring a lawyer to write the extra clauses in the contract? I know it sounds crazy, Kobe, but amazingly, yes, many Rishonim and Acharim say exactly that. Amazing. And then you've got to figure out why.
Maybe
very good. But Mordechai, tell me, what do we have to do to figure out? But Kobe, you're making an assumption that we're going to have to analyze in this sugya. That is, are the rules of Mekach Ta'ut the same as Tanai? Right? Or not, right? You assume they are. They might be. They might not be. They might be stricter. They might be less strict. Very good. I see, there was a reason that I gave you some translations on this, because I really felt bad for you. I'm like, it's not a long Gemara, but you realize very quickly that it's a brutal, brutal, brutal few lines in the Gemara.
Okay.
Now, all the crazy possibilities that I've just said, amazingly, they actually do play out in the sugya. Yes, they actually do play out in the sugya. Part of this obviously is going to have to figure out what day this is, because to figure out why there's a legal presumption, right? Well, if it's the 14th, I understand that the presumption may only be that, a presumption, right? But if it's the 13th, then what does Chezkato Baduk mean by definition? I told you, because there's no other reason for there to be a legal presumption that there was Bidigat Chametz. And therefore, the question of whether our sugya, the question of whether our sugya is about that the Chazaka in question is a legal presumption or an explicit statement, in many ways hangs on the question of what day of Nisan we're talking about. Because if it's the 14th, there is a legal presumption that it was checked based on the sugya on Amud Aleph. But if it's the 13th, should there be a legal presumption that it was checked? No. So if there is a legal presumption, then where would that... if there is a presumption, not a legal presumption. If there is a presumption it was checked, where would that presumption have come from? Me saying to Mordechai, of course I checked it. There is nothing there.
Nothing. You see nothing. Right?
It's plastic. I can see right through.
Yeah. Sure. Right? So you almost inevitably have to say that if you think that this sugya is happening on the 13th, and the presumption is because we made an explicit statement that this sale depends on
whether or not we
did bidika. And nevertheless, the fact that the Gemara is going to conclude that what? That it's not a mekafta would lead you to the conclusion that it's not a mekafta even though Mordechai explicitly said the thing I hate most in life is bidika chavet. I spend the money every year to leave my home and rent somewhere else on Pesach for the sole reason that I can sell my property to a goy over Pesach and find somebody else to search their house, and then I rent it. That is what I do every Pesach. That is the only reason that I go away for Pesach, is because I hate Bidikat Chameit so much. That is why...
It's not even the cleaning. I just hate doing the Bidikat.
Yes, exactly.
wouldn't there be a difference between writing a contract versus...
You would think, wouldn't you?
Okay.
Good. Okay, so are we clear on how problematic this Gemara is? Even just to figure out what it's saying?
Cool. Yeah.
Good, I'm glad we do. Now we'll quickly read the Gemara's answer, and then we will try to answer some of these questions. Okay, so the Gemara's answer itself is Toshma Damar Abaye, Lo Mi Boy Ba'atra Dlo Yahave Agra Uvadku. He says, needless to say, there were people that they don't pay to do Bidika. They do it themselves. Obviously, in such a place, Denichale Le'inish Likume Mitzvah Begufe. In such a place, it's not a mekaftot because Mordechai is such a tzaddik. Mm. And even though he said, even though he doesn't want to do bidika, he really does want to do bidika because he's such a tzaddik. He may not like it, but his soul likes doing bidika because, you know, you want to do the mitzvah yourself. The Gemara says there... So the Gemara says, in such a case, it is obviously not a mekachtot. Now again, it's obviously not a mekachtot when I didn't explicitly put that as a condition, or...
Well, if you love the mitzvah so much, it shouldn't make a difference.
Correct. Well, so that's the question, is if, right? So this is what we got to figure out, is wait a second. Okay. I don't understand. What's the Gemara saying? What's the case? Is the case where we just assumed... Right, it's the 14th, so we just assumed that it was checked. And it turns out it's not, right? So then we say, Mordechai, I should have checked, but I didn't. But lucky you, you got another mitzvah. Oh,
thank you.
Oh, look what I did. Not only did I rent you property for Pesach, but I gave you a mitzvah. I'm such a tzaddik, Mordechai. Right? You should pay me. You should pay me. Oh, you are? Huh? Yeah. Okay. Yes, exactly. So the Gemara says in such a case, it's definitely not a mekaftot. Now, what's the problem? If it's the case that I just said, where it's the 14th, and therefore the reason that Mordechai assumes it was checked is because it's the 14th, but he never actually said anything. So, okay. Maybe you can say, well, it's not a mekachtot because maybe I didn't do what I was supposed to. But like, Mordechai didn't say he doesn't like bidika, and we just assume that Mordechai is a tzaddik and he likes doing mitzvot. So like,
but Rebbe,
no, hold the thought for 1 second.
But Rebbe, shouldn't I assume that
good
you
question.
Like to follow halacha more than you like to follow Hamura?
What? Oh, so from. So that's one thing, okay. If that's what the Gemara means, that's fine. But what if we took the more radical read of the Gemara? That the case is not where Mordechai assumes that Bidika was done because, you know, it's the 14th. But rather, no, I told Mordechai, I did Bidika.
Okay.
Then this would be a much more radical statement because the Gemara would be saying, look, I told Mordechai, I did Bidika. You can walk in and just enjoy your Pesach. He walks in and there's bags of bread everywhere, right? If, right? And the Gemara will just say, and he'll just come back screaming to me, I told you, told me it was checked. And I'll say, but you love mitzvot, Mordechai. Like, you love mitzvot. Like, I don't understand. But you said it was checked. I know I said it was checked. Because I wanted to give you the opportunity of a mitzvah. I wanted you to be surprised that you had an extra mitzvah to do 5 minutes before the Seder. I wanted you to be surprised you have an extra mitzvah. What? What's the problem? Right? That's a radical. We should put a sign on this door. It's like, yes. So that's a little bit wild. Right, and then the Gemara says, "Ela afilu ba'atru diave agro vadgu." Now the Gemara says, "But you know what? We're about to say something even more radical.
Cool.
Not only were the minag olam is that people do their own bedika, but even if you live in Herzliya Patuach, you live in Savio, you live in Kesaria, right? In nice big." Wealthy areas, big houses, you know, full-time staff, you know, that type of stuff.
Golf course down the block.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know, you live in whatever, you live in Back Lawrence, whatever you want, right? Take your pick, okay? I don't know. Seattle definitely has its places.
Toronto.
Brooklyn has its places, sure, sure. Whatever. You live wherever, okay? And there, what do you mean? In my 28 bedroom, 14 bathroom, movie theater, tennis court, bowling alley, house, I'm going to do bedika myself? You've got to be crazy. The minog in such places is that you hire other people to do bedika, because it takes a team to do bedika of the Leverett estate.
Also,
right?
God forbid I do any of my own.
God forbid. Rahman al-Assad, no, okay. Right? Never should happen. So Gemara says, even in such a case, so Mordechai decided he wanted to leave his 28-bedroom, 14-bathroom estate and go to the Ziering 28-bedroom, 14-bathroom estate for Pesach.
But this one's
Chametz free. Exactly, because my kids don't eat gluten. So in my house, it's easy to make it Chametz free. Don't worry, right? So more, the Gemara says, even in that situation, where Mordechai gets there on the 14th, and pitaom, there are bags and bread. He said, I thought your kids were gluten free. I was like, yes, but they eat amilan chita, which is also wheat. It's just, doesn't have gluten, but it's chametz, don't worry about it, right? And now, right, now Mordechai can't do the search himself. Mordechai needs to hire a team of 25 people to search for the chametz. So then you would say, in such a case, obviously it's mekachton. He didn't bargain for that, the Gemara says. No. The nichale le'inish likume mitzvah b'mamone. Mordechai just loves doing mitzvah with his money. He just loves it. It gives him such joy to spend an extra $2,000-$3,000 to get a team of people to search the non-chametz-free Ziering residence on Erev Pesach.
Why wouldn't it all just be in the dining room and kitchen?
Because I have kids.
Which dining room, which kitchen?
Exactly, right? Now, that's a wild statement, right? Because now the Gemara is saying it's not a mekachtot, even in such a case. Now, in order to figure out how the Gemara could come to that conclusion, because that's a wild conclusion. Again, it's an even more wild conclusion if you think this is a case in which I told Mordechai explicitly, listen, I will rent you this property for a cool $100,000 for Pesach, and don't worry, it's searched. And now he has to go and spend another $3,000 on top of that just to search for chametz. If the Gemara is saying that even in such a situation it's not a mekachtod, then we really need to understand what a mekachtod is, because that is a very extreme case. And that gets us to Kobe's question, which is, wait, what does it mean that mekachtod is chozer Is it automatic? Is it a right? Right? Meaning, is this the sale simply was under false pretenses, so it evaporates into thin air because it just never existed? Or is it that Mordechai has the right to demand that it reverse, and therefore there might be limitations that sometimes... Correct. And therefore, you might say that not only are there cases where he could say, you know what, it's maybe crazy, but I really love the Zeirut Mitzvah for Pesach. It might be even more than that, that God comes, we come in and say, Mordechai, you may think you're angry, but you're not angry, right? You have the privilege of spending another $3,000 on mitzvot, and therefore you want to exercise your right to reverse the sale, but the answer is, you don't really want to exercise that right. You don't. I'm telling you, deep in your soul, you don't. So
you gotta have some great lawyers.
I do, the Gemara. See, the Gemara says, deep in your soul, you wanted to spend an extra $3,000.
The Gemara tells me I'm fine.
There you go. So you understand how these very few lines of Gemara, it really forces us to ask the fundamental question. What is a makachtot? And how does this weird mitzvah thing mess up what everything we would have thought about Mekachtot, and Kobe's question, how does Mekachtot relate to Tanai? Right, all those are the questions that we need to ask. Yes, Eitan.
Is Tanai, like, directly responding to this question? So, like, why do you, like, touch
the bottom? Yeah, it's a little bit weird of a formulation, admittedly. I agree with you. It's a little bit weird. But yes, the Gemara seems to take it. Unclear if he answered this question directly, or he said something else, and they quote him. But yeah, the Tashma is a little bit weird there. I agree. Okay, ready? So that is our half an hour of just trying to understand how problematic these lines in the Gemara are. Okay, so let's see. So first of all, we got to figure out. Is this the 13th or the 14th? So, you tell me, what day is it? Machloket, very good. So who says what? Tosafot quotes the Rashba. Now, little bit, I've mentioned this to you before, but who is the Rashba in Tosafot? So this is, I know, confusing. I'm sorry. Nothing I can do about it. When people say the Rashba, who do they mean? Avi, who do they mean when they say the Rashba? The Sfardi Rashba, very good. Who is the Sfardi Rashba? Rosh Shimon ben Aderet. Okay, he's a Talmud of the Ramban. When Tosafot says the Rashba, who does he mean? He means the Rosh Mishams. Right? Rav Shimshon ben Avraham of Sens.
Okay.
Or in Yeshivish Shams. Yes.
Okay.
I know some people get very angry at this. I don't mind saying Rosh Mishams. The one I can't do is the Yeshivish way of saying the Rimi Orleans. Like, there's a Rimi Orleans. He's from Orleans.
Okay.
Right? You know, like New Orleans is named for Orleans.
Right.
Right? Or if you want to do it in French, it's Orléans. Okay. Right? But, like, I have heard people say, oh, the Rimi Orleanish. I'm like, oh. I mean, I know that's what it looks like, but no. Don't say that. So, but fine, the Rashi Shans. So he says, near the Rashba, the Bishlosha Asar Airi. It is on the 13th. The Arba Asar Lamaskir Livdo. Because on the 14th, obviously, the landlord had to search. Okay, what do we learn from Tosafot? According to Tosafot, are we dealing with a presumption or an explicit clause that... An explicit clause, because there's no reason to assume going into the 14th, right, meaning on the 13th, that it was checked, unless you said so, right? So right off the bat, we see from Tosafot, on the one hand, something radical, which is that he thinks the conclusion is, even if I say explicitly that I searched, it's not a mekachtod, even if Mordechai is now going to have to expend money to search the thing that I told him I searched. Right? That's radical. That's the first half of Tosfot. But then Tosfot said, why? Because if it was the 14th, what does he assume? I would have to check. Would the cell reverse if I didn't?
No, so Tosfot seems to be...
Right? Doesn't sound like it. Right? It doesn't sound like it, right? According to Tosfot, it sounds like... Right, according to Tosfot, it sounds like, look, on the 14th, I have to do it not because of the agreement I have with Mordechai, but because...
Of the responsibility.
That's the halacha of Bedikat Chametz, which, whether it's a Pesach halacha or a Choshen Mishpat halacha, we talked about, but it's not because of this, it's not because of the Nekaftalot side. He's saying, if it's the 14th, I have to do it. So on the 14th, does Mordechai have any right to say Nekaftalot? No, the reason that I need to check is because that's the halacha of Bedikat Chametz. Right, according to Tosfot, you couldn't ask about the 14th, because on the 14th, this has nothing to do at this point between me and Mordechai. Right? The reason I have to check for chametz is because the chametz is mine. Chametz didei. And when the zman of v'dikat chametz came, it was my responsibility. And therefore, if I didn't, Mordechai may get the property, but I still have to come in and check for chametz. And therefore, Tosfot isn't willing to entertain the possibility that we're dealing with the 14th, because it was the 14th, regardless of what I told Mordechai, what Mordechai thought. I need to do Bedika because we established in Amud Aleph that that is my responsibility. Nikuda sof sipor, that's it. Right? Therefore, he thinks it's the 13th. But by saying it's the 13th, he implicitly has said that Gemara's conclusion that it's not a Mekachtod is even when Mordechai explicitly told me he was only renting this on condition that the Ziering estate was search for chametz. And yet, the Gemara says, too bad. Okay. Too bad. Too bad. Nothing Mordechai can do. On the 13th, which is crazy, right? That on the 13th, if Mordechai said, listen, I want to take the property a day early from you so I can enjoy my time before Pesach, the Gemara's conclusion, according to Tosfot, is even though I said, sure, Mordechai, enjoy the chametz-free property, he gets in, and instead of enjoying, he has to hire a team of 25 people.
So is this when I walk in on the 13th, or when, if the contract is written on the 13th?
You walk in.
Okay.
Or Monsieur Mafteach, presumably, was on the 13th. Right, following in the above Gemara. That is Tosfot. What about the Ran? What does the Ran say? Because we already said that on the 14th, the person who, the landlord has to do it. But others say, I know Lin Yan the law of a mechachtaut. Call Marco Masker Shlomo Boy. Tosfot says, wait a second. Oh, sorry, the Ran says, first things first, 13th. Okay? Now, according to Tosfot, the Ran thinks that the Masker. Has to search. Other people assume, right? Then he quotes another Shita who says that what? That what does the Gemara mean when it says it's not a Mekach Ta'ud? That the sale doesn't reverse. But the Gemara's conclusion is that you still have to search or pay for it being searched, right? Right? That, and therefore, what does it mean that Nichalele Inish Lekume Mitzvah B'mamone? So what does it mean when it says that Mordechai is happy to spend money on the mitzvah? Correct. It means that he's happy to lay out the money for me to then pay him back. Mordechai's, look, I don't mind laying out money for mitzvah, but you better pay me back because that was the agreement. Right? Now, if that's the case, then it's a little bit more understandable why it's not a mekachtot, because Gemara is assuming that I've got to deal with it in the end of the day. The only question is, can Mordechai say, I'm not willing, right? Meaning, according
I'm
to...
I'm not willing to deal with it right now.
Correct, right? This is a much narrower question, which is, look, Mordechai calls me up yelling, Rabbi's hearing you said that it'd be checked. I said, okay. Here's the number of the local Bedikat Chametz team. I don't have time to deal with it, but you call, right? I'll pay you back. And Mordechai says, no. I don't even want to, I don't want to make the phone call, right? The Gemara's conclusion is Mordechai has to make the phone call, right? He can't, I should have done it, but at this point I did it. Mordechai can't just say, I'm reneging on the deal, right? He has to... Right, make the phone call, but he can then force me to pay him back. Okay? The Ron himself says no. Va'ani omer, lo kedivrezeh, ve'lo kedivrezeh. I think both are wrong. First of all, it'll be a dalet askinan. It's not the 13th, it's the 14th. Mishum hachim, mistamah, la va'amar b'chezkat baduk. And that's why it says not that I told Mordechai it was checked, but rather, chezkat baduk. It's presumed to have been searched. Why was it presumed to have been searched? Because I was supposed to do it. Right? Because of the halachot of bidikut chametz. The lo boy le mechash le sveka. The boy in the little damasker by it biudal yicheskado badog and chazakado badog. The Gemara stamach chesko batog. Because the Gemara just established that on the 14th we're allowed to assume that it's chazaka that is checked. Kolomar di chesko batog mituk mastama. The in chesko batog mituk ma mit Gemara lebe hedya maskin and lovi mechachto. Ud de kakashila maskin and lael dala masker livdog. So now you'll tell me, wait a second. How could it be that it's the 14th? What about Tosfos' question? If it's the 14th, I'm obligated to check because I am the landlord. Regardless of what deal we made between us. That's the halacha. So why does Gemara need to tell us this again and now bring it up as mekachtot? Lo kasha li klal. The Ron says, not a question at all. At all. Dil'el shakli vitari mitzvot bi raman ramya. Maskin and maske ramya. He said, that's a Pesach question. V'hacha bai yamar maskir lo bainan lemen mitzvah. But here, the case is, I say, look, I know what the halacha is. I don't care. It's bein hazmanim. I'm not paid to care about Judaism on bein hazmanim. Okay? Right?
Rabbi Ginsburg's not here. He's in the States.
Yes, exactly. Right? On Pesach.
No, he's in.
Right? On Pesach, I say, listen, that's not my job. Right? I don't have to care. What I do on my bein hazmanim, you think I'm a rabbi, I should care about halacha? That's between me and God. Okay? I'll take it up with God. That's none of your business. The Ron says, listen, it's true. I should have searched. It's okay. I'll be the villain. It's fine. Right? I should have searched for chametz. But that's not the Gemara's question. Gemara's question is, yes, I should have searched for chametz. You're right. Right? Nunu. Inami deleta come on the maskarata. Or it's a case where, look, I didn't check and I fled town. Right? Right? The sochar lo sagi le below biur. The armian le come on the chemsa shagoy osin la machita asar. The kevin shagain baini mekachto. The hacha la mitzvot biur askinan. Leinan dina shaklin and vitarin. He said, here, it's going to be really hard for him to deal with all this. Right? So what's the question? The question here isn't out. Or a Chaim question. It's not a Pesach question. Right? It's the same way that if I rented a luxury estate to Mordechai before Pesach for his vacation, and it didn't have the pool I promised him, he would have a taina. If it doesn't have the Chametz free stamp that I promised him, he has a taina. That's the issue here. Right? This is a very simple shaila. It's not a very simple shaila. It's not a Pesach shaila. It's a monetary question. Right? It's a monetary question. It's, look, people went away for Pesach, the time of the Gemara. Right? You go away. And you expected certain things. You expected a swimming pool. And you expect a chef. And you expect whatever you expect at all these hotels, right? And you expect no chametz. Crazy. So, in the same way, you'd have a taina if, you know, I left at the pool. So now you have a taina. I left out the chametz free part of your Pesach trip, you know? That's the Gemara's question. And amazingly, the maskana is maskin blav mekachtot. The Gemara's answer is, yeah, too bad. If there wasn't a pool, then yeah, Mordechai has a taina against me. Because Rabbi Zirin, you promised me a pool. Right? But here, he has no taina. Because Mordechai just loves spending money on Bedikat Chametz. He just loves it. He loves it deeply. That's what he always dreamed of doing, is spending more money on Bedikat Chametz. And the Ron says, you can't even ask me to pay you back.
Right.
Sorry. Correct, right? He's assuming that basically I only have the right to even claim compensation if the Torah recognizes that you should care about how I wronged you. But if the Torah says, you love doing mitzvot, even if it costs you a fortune. So, I know you told, I know we said this explicitly, but
Okay.
Sorry, it's not, I didn't say explicitly. Right? This is the 14th. It's implied. The mitzvah l'chudu ramilei the maskir. And he says, the reason, and what's the reason? The reason is because technically, is this a monetary mitzvah? The Ron makes a very interesting argument here. He says, what's the reason that you can't make me pay you back? Because it's not really a monetary mitzvah. In theory, you could do it yourself. Right, in theory, you could do it yourself.
If there's not a pool here, then literally the...
Correct. But it, just because it happens to be a 28-room mansion doesn't mean that Mordechai couldn't do the bedikah himself. Right? It's not fundamentally that I left something out monetarily. What I left out was a kiyum mitzvah. And we assume halachically that... So that's the way he understands it. The Gemara is saying that even when people routinely hire other people to help them with bedikat chametz, the fact that that's not definitional to the mitzvah means that Mordechai is essentially making a choice and it's an extension of himself.
Right. So... question. I'm not sure how one-to-one this lines up, but say instead of a regular bdikas chametz question where it's like a mitzvah that's additional, but it's not literally devaluing the house. Say this isn't for, let's make this purely a choshen mishpat and say, you say, this property which has a pool and everything, and you know it has a pool, pool table and all this fancy stuff, and it's also clean, and then you show up and it has all the stuff that like would give the property value, but there's a thick layer of dust on everything, and the floors of the bathrooms are filthy, and now you need to hire a cleaning crew. Now it's not all the stuff is there, it's just dirty. So would that, does that literally devalue the property, in which case that could be considered?
So what we're going to try to do, what we're going to do, and I hope, guys, as dense as this sugya is, and it really is, I think we should try to cover it in one more day, right? That would be my goal, should cover it in one more day, meaning today was mostly setting up the problems in the sugya, right? But I think we shouldn't spend much more than one day. What I want to do really is understand, right? What?
The best shiurim typically take two.
Say what?
The best shiurim typically take two shiurim. So
at least two. But I don't want to spend more than two. I hope. Whatever. It'll be fine. If we don't, we won't read everything inside. That's fine. But what I want to do through this sugya is really understand, like, what is it? What is the definition of a kinyan? What is the definition of mekach ta'ud? Right? How does that relate to this sugya? Okay? And like we said, the questions that we have to deal with is, what is the Gemara talking about, right? Is the Gemara really talking about a reversal of the sale? Is it talking about an obligation of whether you have to pay, right? Is it talking about a case in which you explicitly said that it was searched and I'm, right, and I just lied? Or is it a case where we're working off a presumption? And in each of those cases, we're going to have to figure out, well, how does the fact that people like doing mitzvot and even like doing mitzvot with their money, how does that help, right? It's one thing to say that in a case where it's just a presumption. It's another thing to say that in a case where Mordechai said, no, I don't like mitzvot, right? I don't like mitzvot either, right? I just like going away for Pesach. I don't like mitzvot, right?
Why do you think I left?
Right?
Rabbi, can there be a presumption that I don't like doing Bedikas Chametz if I specifically left my original place to not do Bedikas Chametz? Would the Ron say that that's plausible?
Say it again?
If I specifically left my house so that I would not have to do Bedikas Chametz, would the Ron still say, he likes doing Bedikas Chametz? Yeah? If I say I'm leaving my house because I do not want to do Bedikas Chametz.
Well, that seems to be the question of the Gemara, right?
Okay. And then it answers that it is a Mecca.
Well, no, the Gemara's answer is not a Mecca.
Oh,
no. Right? No. That's okay. The crazy thing, is that after all of this, right, the Gemara assumes that it's not a
Rekach Tov. Fascinating.
So the Ron himself, his opinion is, we're dealing with the 14th, and therefore it's not a case where I said it explicitly, which by implication means that if I did say it explicitly, then what? Then it would be a Mekach Tov. Correct. Right, so he thinks this is the 14th. And if it's the 14th, therefore, the reason there is a chazakah is simply because it's the 14th. And the reason he's not bothered by Tosfot is because he says Tosfot seems to be thinking about this sugya as a mitzvah shayla. It's not a mitzvah shayla, it's a mamonot shayla. It's a money question, right? The question who should be doing bedika between God and, right? That's between you and God, right? The question here is, what is my responsibility to Mordechai? And he says, the way it goes is like this. It's a case where I didn't say it explicitly. And the reason it's not Mekach Tod is because we assume that Mordechai loves doing mitzvot. Right? Tosfot thinks that, right. Say it again? Is he qualified? Say?
Well, what we were talking about before was because the tear cloth of the Mexico baseline, right?
Right. So the Ron says, listen, that's not the issue here. The assumption is, yes, it's the 14th, and therefore the tircha is put on me. But despite that, at the end of the day, especially if you think that we're both really chayav, I'm just primarily chayav, the point is that now Mordechai has a mitzvah, and therefore you can't say it's a mekach tod, because Mordechai, at the end of the day, is going to be happy that he gets to do a mitzvah. Mordechai, had to hire 25 people and spend thousands of dollars.
But I love doing that.
But he didn't have to. I mean, maybe practically he did, because he's not a fast enough bedika, right? Not a fast enough chametz checker, and he has no idea how much chametz I left in this property. Correct. Tosfot says, right, because Tosfot thinks that part of the shayla is not a Rechaim shayla, it's a Chosh Mishpat shayla. Sorry, it's not a Chosh Mishpat shayla, it's a Rechaim shayla. It's a Pesach shayla, it's a Bedikas Chametz shayla. Right, and therefore he's like, look, it can't be, or to put it differently, he thinks, that, or maybe not, he thinks if it was the 14th, it would be.
Right,
on the 13th, it could be a Chosh Mishpat shayla. And the Ron says, look, just because the answer on a Rechaim level is clear on the 14th, doesn't change the fact that there are people who aren't so frum, but now you got to figure out, okay, but so you weren't frum. Between you and God, God is angry at you. Happy? Wonderful. Right? You still have to figure out on a level of contract law what you have to do about it. Right, Tosa seems to say, look, it's basically, well, Tosa, on the 14th, it's irrelevant, because he says, listen, I have to do it, right?
You can't make a contract
that was correct, right? According to Tosa, on the 14th, no contract is relevant. On the 13th, maybe contractual issues are relevant. On the 14th, contractual issues aren't relevant. Correct, it's my responsibility, Zosa. Okay, so, because it's been almost an hour, so... I just want you to understand, what Makarot here are, they aren't locally about our sugya. They're some of the broader sources on Mekachtot and Tanai in general. Okay? And Mekachtot and Tanai in general. And we're going to use those sources. What I want you to do is try to read those sources and see, what do they tell you about the nature of Tanai? What do they tell you about the nature of Mekachtot? Okay? Yes?
Yeah.
And then try to plug it in. Right now that we've laid out all the possibilities, try to see, based on what you learn about Kinyanim, what you learn about Machata, what you learn about tonight, what you learn about all these contractual issues, how that would play into our sugya. And tomorrow we'll try to lay it out. If you want, for the most part, I'm basing myself on this one. Yeah.
How formal is tonight?
That's part of the question we're going to see. Okay. Maybe I'll help you now already. Yeah. Right? That one of the major questions that I want you to understand is Tanai and Mekachtot, there's two ways of taking these things. And that is, one way of taking these is it's a reflection of what you want. Right? If I say something, therefore, I have every right to make whatever condition I want, and if you don't live up to it, then that is going to be reflected in the viability of this deal.
Or it's about the objective market.
Correct. Or you say that there are certain things, right, that are about the objective standards, about whether this is the type of thing that affects it. And it might be very good. And then what you, right, the big challenge in the sugya is to figure out when is Tanai / Mekachtot about subjectively what do I have to assume you wanted going to the sale and what, right? Or when do I have to assume that the issue here is objective standards? And sometimes those are going to mix, because sometimes there's going to be something that Mordechai made it 100% clear what he wanted, but maybe because there needs to be some sort of synthesis between subjective and objective standards, therefore what? Maybe certain things, even though Mordechai made it clear, halacha swoops it and says, yeah, but we don't care. Right? So what you're going to be looking for, those three questions, right, is are we talking about subjective standards, objective standards, or are we talking about subjective standards within a certain framework, right? Meaning, there's a range of things where we say you're allowed to make conditions and we'll take your personal preferences into account, right? But then there are things outside of that where we say, I get what you want, but it doesn't matter, right? Right? That's sort of a hybrid position. And those issues are what we're going to see in terms of Tanai and Mekachtot, and then they're going to be plugged back into to the specific case of the Dikar Chametz.
Okay, a sad question before I get into it.
Yeah.
How do you determine the objective markets when each prices?
Leaf prices. I don't want to get into prices. Prices are complicated. Price is obviously one of the main sugya, that's why I gave you an example, but it's different. Price is hard. Since you read my package on economics and halacha, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave a course on it a few years ago. I'm actually giving it again, right now. Not for.
Take five.
No. So I'm.